Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Jamie Baines. Today's guest is Richmond native and best-selling author David L. Robbins. David helped found an organization that's near and dear to my heart, Frontline Writers. As many of you know, I'm a retired homicide detective, as well as the author of two different fiction series. So is it any wonder why I love the idea of a group that helps and encourage frontline heroes to write about their experiences? I could go on and on about why I think the organization is so important, but I'll shut up and let you hear my conversation with David. I hope you enjoy the interview. And welcome back to the podcast. Today's guest is David L. Robbins, Richmond native and author. How are you, David?
I'm very well, Jamie. Appreciate the time. Thank you, man.
Absolutely. Look, I wanted to ask you about a project that you're tied to that's near and dear to my heart as a first responder and a writer as well. And that's an organization that you, I think, co-created or helped found. What is that one called?
It's Frontline Writers. I've been for about 8 years now running in conjunction with the Virginia War Memorial a writing program for Virginia veterans called the Mighty Pen Project. And that program has done so well and has gotten such a wonderful response from the veterans community that it wasn't much of a leap at all to look around and go, okay, well, watching the benefit that they get from this program and how much the community benefits from having access to their stories and, you know, and understanding of military service and understanding the what goes into that and the accomplishments of these people let's be honest, the costs to them to protect our society. It wasn't much of a leap to go, well, gee, I mean, a comparable community would be first responders. And so it was a very easy idea to take what we're learning with the veterans and start an organization for Richmond's first responders. The idea is very similar. The execution is very similar. And Frontline Writers is a remarkable organization. It has grown on its own. I guess we're about 3 years old now. And it's one of the coolest things I do. It's maybe the coolest thing I do is getting to teach people who have just made so much of their lives, you know, service to their first their country and then the first responders, service to their community. It's a remarkable thing to be exposed to these people, to hear their stories, to encourage their stories, and to get to know them.
Why do they want to write, David? And this is for veterans and first responders both. What draws them to write?
You know, Jamie, I would almost turn that question back around on you as a first responder. I can only tell you my sense of it. So before I answer why, let me tell you what. And then that may help us understand why. And then I'd like your answer as well.
Sure.
What we do in the Frontline Writers is it's writing is just one of the things they do. So we go across groups, of course. First responders include fire, police, and emergency medical personnel. And these folks, men and women alike, are the classes are conducted on Zoom. Yet, even though we're all in our different homes and our different spaces, this community forms up, and they recognize across on the computer, they recognize in each other across these three communities very similar lives, lives of service, courage, and sometimes loss and sometimes great accomplishment and honor and pride. But in all cases, before we even talk about writing, the community that pops up, and each class forms its own little community, right? And it's a cool, very cool thing for me as a non first responder, just a schmuck citizen who will call them on my worst day, right? But it's so cool to watch them. One guy will talk about how he goes home after a tough day and pets his cats, and a female firefighter will go, yeah, I go home and I cook, and a cop will go, yeah, I go home and I watch sports. But they nod to each other and they say, yeah, but I feel you. Mm-hmm. I understand that the tensions and the pressures of whatever day you had have to be dropped before you come back to work tomorrow, because you got to do it again. And there's this basic understanding amongst all the first responders in all communities, whether they know each other before the class or not. when the class is over and they have had a chance to read each other's stories and write their own stories, of course, but it's equally important to note that they get to read each other's stories. And when we're done, these 10, 12, 15 people are bonded in a way that I, as the teacher and as an observer on their community and a participant in the learning of the writing, but I being there when it happens, it's an amazing thing for me. And I'm not shy at all about calling it an honor to be able to be allowed to teach these people better writing skills, better writing habits. So what they write about, Jamie, to me, is no more or less important than the fact that they do write. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the policeman who writes about some awful day when he had to pull out his gun or chase some kid through a neighborhood. And you have a firefighter who will write about her husband or that bad day in a house. And you have emergency medical people talk about that really hard, sad case or that wonderful moment when somebody responded and they saved a life. It covers the whole gamut.
What is so important that you think about that they have to read each other's work as well? Not just writing, but like you really touched on them reading other people's work. You think that, obviously you think that's important. Why do you think that is so important?
Oh, it must be a terrible thing to feel alone. I know in my own work as a writer, it's a very isolating profession, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's great when I can talk to other writers. And we sort of said, they go, yeah, right, me too. It must be frightening sometimes to look back over a day and go, wow, that was a really hard day. And wow, I have to find ways to put that burden across my shoulders as a protector of my community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then go back and do it with equal force, equal commitment tomorrow. I've seen it in this class, and I've watched them become friends across these communities. They become my friends. Many hands make light the work, and I think that even the saddest thing, even the hardest memory, becomes something that can be born if many hands are on it. And so when you hear someone else, even in a different community, fire and you're a cop, or EMT and it's fire, you hear a human voice talking about the challenges and the risks and the camaraderie and the joy of being part of these communities and the honor of being allowed to serve your community. The commonalities bind them in the class, but I think in their hearts, it must be wonderful to look across the table and go, I don't know that guy, or I don't know that woman, but I do know them at a very deep and intimate level. I know their makeup. I know their character. I know their service.
And you can get that from reading what they've written, correct?
Yeah. And then the conversations that ensue, you know? Because I tell you, it's just the coolest thing to watch 11 heads nodding while somebody's talking about some silly thing they have to do or some hard thing they had to do. And everybody else is like, yeah. it's very cool. It's very cool. And then they all become friends. And the friendship and the camaraderie in the class really helps them dig when it comes time to write. Yeah.
And I imagine that you see a whole gamut of people, be it men, women, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. It doesn't matter the race or the sex.
Oh, gosh, no. It's quite the opposite. Yeah, quite the opposite. Yeah.
Just a melting pot, and just so many different people come to the profession but yet have similar stories within the profession.
Oh, sure. I mean, they all become the same person when they write. Yeah. It underscores that point I'm making that even though they may put on different uniforms, they all rush towards the sound of trouble, man. Mm-hmm. You know, when the siren goes off and I run one way, they run the other. All of them do. And that commonality, that simple act, that commitment to protecting the community and protecting each of us, our homes, our lives, our loved ones. These are the people that do it. And their stories have as much diversity as they do in terms of who they are and what they look like, but they also have this deep commonality, mm-hmm. which is service and a really unyielding, unbending commitment to it. So yeah, it's a cool fire for me to sit next to once a week. It really is.
Do they need much guidance in their writing skills generally? Do they know what they want to put out there? Do you just need to kind of help them express it or put it to paper?
That's a great question, Jamie. So what I'm told is that firefighters, police, and EMTs, or emergency medical personnel, they write a lot of reports. Mm-hmm. They write a lot of reports. And so the chance to write something personal about themselves and their lives and their insights, you know, it's something that once you give them the opportunity and the freedom and the permission mm-hmm. to write about themselves, that they really grasp, you know. And so nobody really comes to class, or very few come to the class as experienced or confident writers. I'd say the vast preponderance are like, okay, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I want to do this, but you know, I'll trust. And then we do a lot of drills. We do a lot of lessons. We do a lot of talking. I do a lot of listening. There are those who would argue that I don't, but I think I do. And so what, it's not a class for writers per se. It's a class for people who are storytellers, who have stories to tell mm-hmm. and want to tell them for their own reasons, variety of reasons. But it's not a class where there's any prerequisite, where you have to have graduated from some program as a writer, or you have to have experience as a writer. I think the lone requirement to be in frontline writers is to be a first responder with a desire to tell your story and to hear other people's stories. And then once the confidence grows with practice and technique that we go over in class, then their aspirations can grow. Then they can say, well, huh. I mean, I know one of my policemen let me know last week that he'd had a story published, you know, in an industry magazine. Mm-hmm. And that was a thrill for everybody. He'd never had that aspiration before. So I'm not saying that that's where it goes, that, you know, you have to desire to be published. But he hadn't thought of that until he, you know, went through the class. He went through the class twice, actually, because we welcome people back, mm-hmm. and just took a swing at it and had the story picked up. But I really want to underscore that nobody has to be an experienced writer to be in the class. That's not what we're about. We're not a publishing class. We're a chance to give people permission and some skill and some confidence and certainly a supportive community to write personal things in a world where they have to write, you know, reports over and over. That's what I hear. I hear time and again, like, man, you know, this is so much better than, you know, the perfunctory stuff we have to put on a mimeograph sheet.
And generally, is it positive feedback from the first responders who take the class?
Oh, I'm not trying to be proud here, but I haven't heard anything but. I guess, and look, I'll be honest, if I had, I wouldn't tell you.
Right.
But I feel confident in saying the number of people that we have sign up more than once, mm-hmm. I think is the best testimony.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, if I have a class of 15 frontline writers, almost every time out, there's always a handful or more of people who took the last class who don't feel that they're done, who got a taste for it. And they said, oh, I got so much more to say. And I'm like, come on back, man. There's always room. We cap it. We cap the class, you know, somewhere under 20. Mm-hmm. And everybody has a real good personal opportunity to write. And we do. We edit each other's work as well. You know what I mean is by editing, I mean people. If you were to write for the class, Jamie, we would consider your work as a class. I would lead a conversation about your work, and we talk about, you know, I would talk about technique, mm-hmm. and how effective some things were and ways to improve here and there. And the class would say, yeah, I liked this. I was really moved by this. And we have a good rousing half an hour conversation, at least on every piece that is submitted.
And how long is the class, not the class session, but does the class go week wise or month wise?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess I should be better about talking about that.
there are a lot of facets to this class, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, thanks. It's a 12-week class.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, we go 12. Well, look, I mean, writing is not an easy thing to get good at. It's it takes practice. There are skills. There are ways to improve. I mean, that's my lifetime has been spent studying the techniques and the strategies of good storytelling. That's kind of what I do as a profession. And I work as hard as I can to communicate those things in fun and easy to digest ways. But also, if you have a class of 10 to 15, sometimes even 17, 20 people, it takes 12 weeks for everybody to get enough opportunities to write.
Mm-hmm.
We can only do 3 to 5 stories a night. You got, if you want everybody to be able to write at least 3 times. So it takes 12 weeks, to provide slots. And plus, at the end of 12 weeks, everybody's looking at me like, we have to stop.
I go, well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, how many do you put on a year if you have there are 3 months?
Right now, while we're still building the program, we do 2 a year. The aspiration is to do 3. I do 3 with the veterans. We tend to take, July and August off.
Mm-hmm.
But we do an early spring class, and we do a fall class with the frontline writers. And once demand is up, and if we have more people clamoring for the class, we'll certainly move heaven and earth to provide ample opportunities for every first frontline writer, every first responder in the city who wants to take a class will have a class. We're committed to that.
Well, how do people find you guys?
Gee whiz, through the very famous Jamie Baines podcast has been our lead dog.
But you've got a website as well. Can people sign? No, that's it. Just this Jamie Baines podcast.
Yeah. Yes. Let's do the logistics. If you are interested, if you are hearing this on the very well known Baines podcast, if you're hearing this, yes, go to frontlinewriters.org. Frontlinewriters, one word, .org, and read about what we do. Read a couple sample stories that frontline writers have written that we've posted, and then there's a registration page. Just fill it in. You'll hear from us, and you'll be in.
And so people know. Is there any cost?
Oh no, gosh, no, it's free. There will never be a cost for this. When the idea first came to me to do this for both the veterans and first responders, my leading thought was that they've already paid. When you put on this country's uniform and you go to some weird place and do things I didn't do, or when you strap on a sidearm, or you climb up a ladder, or you jump into an ambulance to come rescue my sorry butt, you've already paid. There's nothing that these people will ever have to pay to take this class. We'll let the community support it.
That's awesome. Closing out, David, what do you have one thing that you want people to know about frontline writers?
Yeah, and allow me to.
Absolutely. I suppose. We'll give you 2, okay. Possibly. Go ahead.
We're having a sale. Let me see.
Okay,
the first one is, if you hear this podcast and you're at all interested, please look into it. Contact me, contact any of us through the Frontline Writers website. And because the most important thing is we can have the program, but we have to have people to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want anybody to be reluctant or hesitant about trying out writing. The Frontline Writers is first and foremost a really affable bunch of people, of good people, really good people who care about each other, who are careful with each other's stories, who are very very heartfelt in their support of each other. And so I think the most important thing is I want to say first is let us have your trust. If you're at all inclined to tell your story, we're a really great place to do that. And so register or talk to someone who's taken the class. But we have to have people in the seats for us to exist. So the most important thing is I want frontline workers in the city to know that this is a place where they're honored and they have a really supportive community. I do my best to communicate my teaching of writing in a friendly and upbeat way, a supportive and inspiring way. Nobody takes a beating, right? Everybody's there to support the other writers in their writing, but also in their professions and their lives. So that's kind of my first thing, which is a bit of a pitch, but I think it's necessary, you know, because I don't want people to be reluctant. I don't want a cop or a firefighter or emergency medical person or a dispatcher to think, well, I can't write, so I don't belong in this class.
And these aren't just for city people, right? I just want to make sure. I want to say this is for any first responder, county, sheriffs, city, whoever.
You got a great briefing. You're asking all the questions. I'm forgetting. So this is for current active duty frontline responders. This is for retired first responders. I think this is for anybody within the sound of my voice. We've had people sign up from Northern Virginia, from all the counties. In the last two classes, we had a gentleman who was sight impaired, and he was great. He was a great classmate, right? But he couldn't see us, but he could hear us, and we could hear him, and it was great having him in there. So he was a 25-year cop, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Henrico. So yes, the class is for any first responder, active or retired, anywhere in the state of Virginia, I think, because we're on Zoom, so there's no real limitation there, right?
Mm-hmm. How about out of state of Virginia? Can somebody from New York or Boston go, or do you want just Virginia people?
You know, honestly, Jamie, if we've got room, if there's a seat in the class, if I've got room, mm-hmm. I'm going to prioritize. I think we will naturally prioritize people in Virginia. But I've not said no to anybody yet, and I don't know that I would say no.
Good. Fantastic.
I off the top of my head, I can't think of a reason, but I think if there's a seat and it's available, I might be going on a limb here, but sure.
And then what is the final point? What is the on-sale point that you wanted to make?
That the community – look, let's not hide from it, okay? The spring and summer of 2020 was tough, mm-hmm. and it extended into 2021. I think it's very important that we support our first responders, especially in a time and environment when maybe that support, sadly might be needed more than it ought to be, more than it should be. I think that frontline workers, first responders should have a community where they feel safe to talk to each other, to put their stories down. They understand each other across those three communities. And on occasion, we have like a public event where our writers will read their stories to the public. And what a wonderful service we can provide if the city of Richmond particularly can get to know its police, its fire, and its emergency medical personnel beyond the badge and beyond the siren, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get to know them as people. And that's what these stories can help do. That's my particular mission, is to break down all the barriers we can between these communities, but also between the communities and the city itself. I think that's a great aspiration, that we know these good people as good people, as well as the people behind that badge and that patch.
Very well said. Very well said. And a much needed thing to say, because ultimately, the first responders are there to serve the community, and that's what I think they do extraordinarily every day.
That's a great button right there, and I will underscore that, extraordinarily and every day. And that's who we try to serve, and we try to serve them with some measure of the same loyalty and energy with which they serve. That's the best we can do, is try to mirror them.
David, thank you very much for coming back on. Like I said, I truly enjoy talking to you. I truly enjoy what you and the frontline writers are doing for the frontline workers. And I just got to say, keep it up.
Yeah, it's an honor to work with them. And it's a great joy to be on your podcast. Thank you, Jamie. You be safe and be well. We'll talk again.
All right, man. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. That's it, guys. What'd you think about my conversation with David? He and the folks at Frontline Writers epitomize why I started this podcast. There are so many good people in this world, but it seems like we only get to hear about the people who aren't so good.
we need to turn that around and focus more on the positive things that people do and simply ignore the hatred and ignorance that's out there. The people at Frontline Riders know this and put it into practice every day. If you're a frontline worker from Virginia or any other state, head over to the Frontline Riders website and consider signing up for a class. And as always, keep spreading the positivity. Thanks for listening.